Well, if you're just joining us for the first time, we're going to be picking up on a subject we've been talking about for the last few weeks when I've had the opportunity to speak, and that is going through 1 Corinthians 12 and the gifts of God's Spirit, and just talking about what it means to have communion and fellowship with God and that walk that we have. And we were just singing about nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. And in our lives, as we come to know God and as we see the salvation that God affords us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we live and walk in a fellowship with God, a communing with God that is to be very involved and very engaged. We have to settle these things in our hearts to know that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And to be seeking after Him and pursuing Him and knowing that it is God who made us, it is God who gives us life, it is God to whom we should be dedicating our lives and giving our all and our best for Him. And if you decide on this, if you have come to see by faith the reality and the existence of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, then everything from your life and in your life should flow from that belief. It's the deepest faith. It's the reason we're here. It's the reason we're conscious. We have thought. God made us to be His children. God made us to be alive and have fellowship with Him. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12 as we continue on here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit." These gifts that God gives, gifts to help build up, gifts that are a profit to edify the body of Christ. The working of God's Spirit in our lives to build us up in our most holy faith. Now, two weeks ago when I had the opportunity to speak, we talked about a word of faith. A word of faith that I personally received for someone who was going to go through a very trying experience with the birth of her firstborn, her daughter, was going to be born with a problem, a hole in her heart, something that needed to be repaired. But not having known the situation, but God having known, gave a word of knowledge that there was a problem, gave a word of faith that it would be okay, and the thing was settled before. But you realize that whether we get the word of faith or not, whether we get the word of knowledge or not, God knows what is. God knows what is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Now, this is one of the gifts of God's Spirit. It says, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, when we've been talking in these verses about how it says, seek spiritual gifts, have you thought about how important this gift of faith is? You see, because of and by ourselves, we are found without faith. How did the devil hold us all our lifetime subject to bondage? We were singing, Brad was inspired to lead us in a song we didn't have words for, but we just started singing, "Break the chains that bind us." What is it that has held us in bondage all our lives? It is fear of death, as it says in the book of Hebrews, that Satan all our lifetimes held us in bondage through fear of death. It is doubt, not knowing, not believing, and therefore not acting with the assurance of who God is and what God is doing. That's what breaks the chains. But we're all found without faith. We are all found without belief. We are all found fearful and unbelieving and doubting. So when God talks about a gift of the Spirit of faith, do you realize how precious that is to be able to ask, as Jesus' disciples did, "Lord, increase our faith." Luke 17, verse 5, the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith. Increase it." When you think of the spiritual gifts that you need, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, healings, miracles, I imagine there's some you want more than others. But this gift, this is one of those gifts that binds so much together that it can be for, as it says here, the profit of all or the edification of all, that we have these gifts. And so turn with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There's a verse that really describes what it is to have the gifts of the Spirit and what they're for. This is it. We are dead but alive for God, that through these vessels, God would bring edification and blessing to someone else. That God would give the blessing of life and His Spirit to someone else through us. See, everything that God has worked out in His Son, Jesus Christ, He is working out in us. The death and resurrection of Christ, we are to be in the death and resurrection of Christ, abiding in His death and abiding in His resurrected life. That life that overcomes the flesh, that life of being born again to righteousness in God, to know who God is and to share that. To dedicate our lives not for the pursuit of ourself and our own flesh and our own interests, but actually thinking about someone else. The gifts of the Spirit flow from love. They're flowing of love. You're thinking of someone else. How can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I pray for you? What can I do? And we very quickly find that in our flesh, not much. Right? Who am I to help anyone? But God, you can help everyone. And what God is looking for is that we lay down our life, our time, our energy, our resources, our money, whatever it is. How can we lay it before God and have Him live in us to bless someone else that they may come and know this life that comes from God? That's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. It's not about showing off. It's not about glory. It's about giving glory to God. And that others would come to give glory to God. And so I encourage us, seek, press in, go for these gifts. But what can we do without the gift of faith? Not much. Not anything. Because where there's fear and doubting, it says, you want wisdom? Ask for it, but let him not ask with doubting, but in faith, believing. Do not let that man suppose who has doubt think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith. All things are possible to him who believes. Do you hear how dominating these statements are from God's Word? If you believe what you ask for in prayer, praying in the name of Jesus Christ and according to His will, you shall receive the things you've prayed for. These are definite statements that God makes throughout His Word to let you know that it all happens by faith. The just shall live by faith. As the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. All of these statements that God makes throughout His Word about faith, without faith we're lost. Without faith, what do we do? Faith is that confidence. It's the assurance. It's the knowing, having not yet received, not yet obtained, but knowing who God is, His greatness, and specifically who God is for you. Notice this as we continue on here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. In other words, I lay down my life. You lay down your life for God to live in you that it might produce life in someone else. And that chain, that keeps going on. As Jesus laid down His life that we would have life, we lay down our lives that others would have life, they lay down their lives that others would have life. It keeps going on in a pattern and growth of love. This is for God's glory. To His glory, for the work that He's doing. And since we have the same spirit of faith, who is God? How do you know God? How do you come to know God? Jesus said, "No one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him." You and I are here as believers in God with faith in him because he drew us here. He drew us. And we accept a calling from God. The faith we even have to believe is something that comes from God. And God can give us greater and greater faith to be the people he wants us to be. And it's something we are to be seeking. To know who our God is. So since we have this same spirit of faith according to what is written, "I believe and therefore I spoke," we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. What did I say the gifts of the Spirit were? Who remembers the Greek word? What is the Greek word for gifts? Charisma. What is charisma? It is grace. Charisma is the manifestation of God's grace. Do you want God's grace in your life? Do you want to share the grace of God with others? It comes through his gifts. It's his grace. It's being manifested. So as he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." The grace that comes to us is not to stop here. The grace that comes to us is to be manifested in our life that we may give it to someone else, that it may spread through the many. So when we have the call of God, when we have the grace of God, we ask God to take our lives. We dedicate them to him that he may use us as he wants as a vessel to bless others with the grace of God. And that that grace would continue to abound and abound throughout the many, that God would be glorified, that God would be thanked. This is why he gives these gifts of his Spirit. Turn over to Mark. Now, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Let's pick it up here in verse 15. Mark chapter 9, verse 15. Mark 9 and verse 15. "So immediately when they saw him, this Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with him?'" They were discussing with the disciples. People were discussing things. Jesus said, what are you guys talking about?" He said, "Teacher," one of them said in the crowd, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Have you been there? "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I want to believe. As much as I think I can, I do believe. But help my unbelief. Help me because I'm not sure that I do believe. I see my own unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that he said, "He is dead." Many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to him, "This kind come out by nothing, but by prayer and fasting." this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There is a seeking in this. There is a desire to grow closer to God. There is a building of faith that comes to the church when we seek after God. Faith to believe. Faith to know. Now, I'll confess, there are things that have been brought to me to pray for that I have felt shaken before God. I don't know that I can do this. I don't know, God, that I can help this person. I don't know what to do or what to say or how to counsel or how to pray. How can I heal? And the bigger the problem, you know, the more the doubt starts to creep in. At least for me. But when you have the opportunity to serve someone, when you have the opportunity to pray for someone or to help someone, and you look at yourself and say, what can I do? You have to stop and say, my faith is in the wrong place right now. Because if faith is in me, I'm lost. And all of this process of ministering and helping people and realizing these facts of life is to say, that's right. Where does your power come from? Where does the power for healing, the power for miracles, the power for knowledge and wisdom and counsel, where does the power of my Spirit come from? It comes from God, to God's glory. And when we go through the processes of seeking God when we're in trials or helping someone when they're in trials and we see the obstacles before us, that is where faith gets challenged. It's right there in those moments. And friends, what we have to see is that God is in control and that God is laying things before us to see, do we truly believe that He can do anything? Do we truly believe that He will do anything for you? Do you truly believe that God keeps His word? Do you truly believe in who He is and His great care and love for you? See, therein is where the victories are being had. Can you give it to God and say, God, to You be the glory. I put it in Your hands. I believe in You, and I put this to You. Faith in God. The assurance and the confidence of who God is, the assurance and the confidence of who God makes us to be, the assurance and the confidence that we can do the things He says we should do. You see, because generally when we pray and we lack faith, we're either questioning God, we're questioning ourselves, we're questioning His desire to act. But all the things that we go through in the process of questioning God, questioning ourselves, questioning His desire to act, it's all about building faith and trust and assurance in who He is, in who He's made us to be, and in what He truly desires, His will. That's where the gift of faith comes in. The gift of faith is to give understanding and assurance of who God is and what He's doing, and what our role is in the process. To believe, to know. Healing, casting out demons, is all built on faith. A belief in who God is, that God had given authority to His disciples, and that God wanted to free or to heal. These are the questions that we ask. These are the questions that come up. Does God really care about me? Does God really love me? Does God know that I exist? Does He really want to do any of these things? Will God give you every gift you need for every moment in time for ministry to help and serve someone else? I grew up in a family where my mother, who many of you have met, my mother wasn't around much when I was a little kid. In fact, from the time I was born till the time I was 15, she was in and out of hospitals all the time, months at a time. My mom wouldn't be at home. And my dad had taken her to all the doctors in our town. My dad had taken her up to Chicago, to the best doctors in the world in Chicago. In fact, try to help my mother to heal her. Nothing worked. I can remember times where we would be celebrating holidays or special family occasions, and my dad would have to drive to Chicago to bring her home so she could be there with us for a few hours, and then at night he'd have to drive her back up. I can remember crying with my mom leaving. Just, it was a terrible feeling that there she was. She had to go back to the hospital. But at the age of 15, and after it had been certain that nothing was going to heal her, when everybody stopped seeking God about it because it was just what had to be lived with, when what was visual and seen was now accepted as reality, a woman who knew my mother, who knew what she had been going through, who knew she was heading back into the hospital again, looked at God more than she looked at what had been going on in my mom's life. And in the name of Jesus Christ, she prayed for her, and in Jesus' name, she was healed. My mom hasn't had a hospital stay since I was 15. That was the last time. The doctors didn't believe her when she said, "I know I was healed." She had faith to be healed, and the person who prayed had faith in her healing, and she was made well. See, these experiences that you have in life, these gifts, this gift that she received, I witnessed. See, no one can take that from me. That's part of my testimony to the power of God in life. And the gift of healing that came on her from a gift of faith that was on someone else to pray for her produced in me faith, produced in me belief. Because I had gone through the experience, and I had watched, and I had seen, and I didn't want to look anymore. But someone else did see God, and did not look at how big the problem was, or how long it had endured, but in that moment prayed. So often we look at reality, and we just start accepting what we see, and saying, this is the way it's got to be. It doesn't have to be the way it is. I've seen many healings in my life, many miraculous healings. I've seen babies in hospitals crying and in hospitals because they were so hurt and bent up, and I've seen a word of prayer on them in faith, and I've seen them immediately stop crying. And people say, that baby's been crying for a week. And the baby just went to peace. The problem was gone. God is still God and is looking for people who believe in Him. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, faith is one of the most powerful gifts in the whole list. Faith is what is needed to have the words of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of healing, the working of miracles. It is faith. And the lack of faith stops things from happening. It causes things to cease that God wants to have carried on. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. I want you to notice this and really contemplate this and see how you can apply it in life. And God, I just pray that we would be able to see and that we would be able to understand these things that are written here. But notice here in Matthew chapter 8, when he got into the boat, verse 23, the disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing, we're dying." And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" What was not in the equation in their thinking? Why were they thinking they were going to die? It was so bad what was going on in the tempest and the storm, they thought, this is it, it's over for us. Save us, God, we're dying, we're perishing. And he didn't wake up and start fumbling around. He didn't have all this anxious care. He just said, "Lord, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? Do you see God in all your life and in all the circumstances you go through?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were standing before the king and would not bow down to the idol, he said, "I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace." And they said, "Whether you do or not, we're not going to bow down to your idol. whether we live or die, we're going forward. The essential faith was in who God is and that it was His right to do as He saw fit for His glory. Their responsibility was to believe. And I tell you, that faith comes from that relationship with God. It is a gift that you have that is developed with God to overcome the fear, to overcome the doubt, to say, come what may, I'm yours. See, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is a book of faith. It's called the Heroes of Faith. God in that book, turn with me, or hold your place here in Matthew, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to notice this. Hebrews chapter 11. After going through the specific heroes of faith, he starts to summarize here. And notice here in verse 23, by faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Verse 33, by believing in God, people subdued kingdoms. That's awesome, isn't it? Worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions by faith. By believing, lions' mouths were stopped. They weren't eating Daniel, right, in the lion's den. He stops the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, many times being outnumbered by faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. All this by faith. So pretty awesome, right? People being resurrected, kingdoms overcome, people being valiant in battle, all these miracles, working righteousness, things being done. By faith, but also by faith, others were tortured. By faith. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of mockings and scourgings. By faith. By faith. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. So by faith, some escaped the sword, and by faith, some were slain by the sword. Both by faith. Do you hear what God speaks to us in this? That the issue is faith. The gift of faith to go through the circumstances of life, even when your life is in the balance, and to say, God, as you will, so be it. I put my life in your hands. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Faith is saying, live or die, blessing or cursing, it's you, God. If I get what I want or I don't, it's about you. And therein lies real faith. You see, when we pray and we don't see what we want to have happen immediately in our lives, and we begin to question God or doubt God or get angry with God, what we're really saying is, we don't have faith, we have flesh. We want it, and we think that our want should be the demand, almost like God's the genie in the bottle. Whatever we command you, Lord, you must do. But faith is saying, no, I realize life is not about what happens in this little whisper. I'm just here for a moment. This is just a short time of passing through the earth. What I want, God, is in this short moment to be to your glory. And if glory is for the miracle that I see, or if glory is in my death or destruction, to your glory let my life be. That is faith. Faith is saying, thy will be done. It is Jesus in the garden saying, Lord, all things are possible with you. If it be possible, remove the cup. But not my will, but yours. And God saying, you got to go through this. And Jesus being good with it. When you go through trials, when you have infirmities, sicknesses, financial problems, trials, relationship issues, are you putting it into God's hands, asking for God to make you a vessel for His glory and blessing, to spread His grace to someone else? Are you asking God to come in and be alive in your life and to be God as He wills it? This isn't dictating to God what He must do. It is trusting in God and believing in God and what He will do. But that is where the true action is. It's in faith, in belief, in looking to God, in trusting Him. Okay, so now back to Matthew. Matthew chapter... Well, actually, let's jump ahead to here to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. So Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go to him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when he came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." What changed in what happened with Peter from the time he was looking at the ghost, Jesus, saying, "Command me to come out." He gets out and starts walking to when he started sinking. What changed with Peter? What's that? He started to doubt. Right. Anybody else? He took his eyes off of Jesus. Anybody else? He feared. He started measuring the water he was in and the storm he was in and what was going on instead of measuring Jesus. Herein lies one of the greatest lessons of life, and if we learn it, we have such victory in life. Because according to your faith, be it done unto you. Whatever it is that you seek in life, whatever it is that you're desiring, that God is leading you into, faith will always be a part of the bigger plans He has. And without faith, you pretty much just muddle, you pretty much just sink in the storms. But here is the opportunity for God to teach us that when He saw Him and looked and kept His eyes on God, His belief was in Jesus and not in the storm He saw. And knowing he was no match for it. Now let me tell you, when it comes to faith and belief, and the reason we need faith, is sometimes we come up against these obstacles. We say, "How am I even going to pray for this? How am I going to get through this?" And we have to set our eyes back on God. So often, people will struggle with sins over and over and over. And you know what happens? You begin to believe that you must always have the sin in your life. Because it's been that way for years and years. And you think, "This is what I always default to." And you know what the truth is? You probably do. Your flesh likes that sin. For whatever reason, your flesh is attracted to that sin. And you know that. And the evil one knows that. That's your bag. So you go back to that thing, and that's the sin that holds you. That's the vice that keeps you. And as long as you keep looking at yourself and that sin, you're going to be stuck there. But when we come to Jesus Christ and we look at Him and we look at His righteousness and we ask God, "Increase our faith. Help me to believe in you, God." It is the faith in God and our walking toward Him and with Him that is the power to overcome what we see of our sin and of our flesh. So often, we fail to overcome sin in our lives because we put greater faith in our consistency to sin rather in the faithfulness of Almighty God. So often, we fail when we pray for healings, blessings, and things that God may be willing to do because we put greater faith in our weakness. And who am I to be praying than we put in the God we're praying to? And we begin to deal with realities without the reality being faith. God exists. God is capable. God will do what He needs to do. I put my life in His hands no matter what happens. Maybe one of the most powerful experiences in my life was when I got food poisoning really bad when I was working. In Chicago. I went to a restaurant and never eaten there before, and I got so sick. Within hours, I could not stand up. I was just buckled over in pain. My stomach was just hurting so bad, and I started to wonder if I was going to die from this. And I was away, and I didn't have health insurance, you know, so the whole thing, I don't know if I'm going to go to the hospital or not, or what I'm going to be doing. And I just realized, if this was the moment that I was going to die, if this was it, what would I want it to look like? Would I want to be doubting God? Would I want to be wondering? And I came to a resolution, and I prayed God that this would always be my resolution. But whether I lived or died, I was going to do it with faith in Him. And I began praying for healing. But I said, but if this be the moment that it is for me to die, then this is the way I go out. I don't need to get married. I don't need to have kids. If I have you, God, saying, you put faith in me, this is it. That's a good death. Because I'm going to die anyway. I haven't died yet. But you often hear me say, if God so wills, I'll speak to you again. Because I don't know that day. But I do know that having faith in God for that moment is the way I want to go out. It's faith without fear. It is faith without doubt. It is faith knowing who God is. And when I had settled that in my mind that this would be it, it was God's choice. Just like that, it was gone. It was a sound of rushing water, and I had no illness. Nothing even after. Nothing at all. It was just gone. It was gone. And if that is the relationship you have with God, then whatever comes, you know that He's with you. And if it's going through a course that you don't care for or like so much, know that God is putting you through it for a reason. How many of you can give a testimony to something of the same in your life? Raise your hands higher. I want to see a testimony. Do you see the people? There are people who know this testimony. If you don't, I encourage you to press in for it. To press in to know the difference of giving your life to God. But it's something we don't just do once in our life a long time ago. It's something we do day by day. I give it all into your hands, God, for your blessing. And the thing is, do you know what creates the anxiety over such a decision as giving your life to God? Doubting Him. Because when we truly believe who God is and know His love and care and concern, and the reason that we're existing is not because we're a toy, but because He wants us to be His children forever, you can put your life in His hands. That's the settling peace that comes with faith. To know Him. To know who He is and what He's doing. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 7, verse 50. Luke 7, verse 50. This was the story of the woman who came, who though she was sinful, she came and she gave her best to wash Jesus, using her tears as water and her hair to dry up His feet and to anoint His feet and wash His feet in a house. And he ends by saying, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Luke 7:50. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The only way we appropriate the sacrifice of Christ to us and really accept it is by faith. Without faith in that sacrifice, that it really applies to us, we're not saved. That's the difference. Jesus died for the whole world. But only those of the world who believe by faith actually receive the benefit of it. He's available to all of us. But do you accept His sacrifice for you personally to cover your iniquities, to make you clean, to put His righteousness towards you? Turn with me now to Luke 18. Let's pick up Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 19. This was after the 10 lepers were cleansed. One leper came back to give thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well or whole. What changes life? The belief and the faith in God. So now over to Luke 18. Luke 18. Jesus happened upon a blind man as he was coming near Jericho in verse 35. And he was told that Jesus was passing by in verse 37, verse 38. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. And he cried out more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Are you ever in that spot where you're just crying out to God for mercy? You come before the Lord and you say, "What do you want? What do you want? What do you want me to do?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Now, this is a statement that Jesus makes multiple times in the Scriptures. Your faith has made you well. Turn over back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 22. The woman had touched Jesus as he was walking through the crowd. And she wanted to touch him because she said, "If only I can touch him, I'll be made well." And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Your faith made the difference. Verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men following him, crying out, saying, "Son of man, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And they were healed. According to your faith. The healing that we receive from God is by faith. Turn with me now. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. It said, "When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?'" So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." How much do we need God's gift of faith? When you are seeking God for spiritual gifts, are you asking for faith to believe in Him, to believe in who He's made you to be, to look at God as He is in His realm, on His glory in the heavens, and not as a man, or not as a theory, that this is somehow just theoretical religion? This is a book that can be looked at and used in many different ways. But this is a book that, when used the way God intended it, will always lead us to Him. It will lead us to Him because He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that can pronounce healing, salvation, miracles, everything that you might be seeking in life, for His help, for His guidance. What we're talking about with the fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit is about a relationship with God where He dwells in us and blesses us with who He is day by day. And the gift of healing is a gift that is dependent on the gift of faith. And faith is that substance of the things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. It is faith, believing in who God is, that causes us to get on our knees and to seek Him in the morning and in the evenings and to come to Him and say, "I need Your Spirit in me. How can I believe if You don't help me? How can I change? How can I walk as You'd have me walk?" And this faith that comes to us is to be living in us, that our lives are to be knit together with God, that God would be with us and joined together, and by this faith that we could deliver it to someone else. To say, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" Not just in the hearing of the ear, not just with the mind, but knowing Him in terms of a daily walk that we have together with God. That we live by the Spirit. That we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That we overcome this world. That we share the grace of God with others. Because the miracles of God are still to be here. Jesus said, "If you believe, truly I say to you, that the works that I did, you will do also, and even greater works than these." Because God is saying, "This is my life. This is the power of the kingdom. And it comes out in gifts to others. If you start to add it up over time, to see how many things God has done and the miracles He chooses to do by His will and power, it is a matter of putting your life in His hands and saying, stop evaluating life with your eyes. Start evaluating it by faith in Him. And if you're saying, I don't know if I believe God, at least you're at the point of honesty where God can now give you the gift to see Him. If you're doubting God, if you're saying, I don't even know if You exist, God, get down on your knees and confess it. Look up in the heavens and say, show me. Show me that You exist. Show me who You are. Open my eyes to see the truth. If that's where you have to start, then that's where you start. But of all the gifts, seek the gift of faith. Seek God's love in your life. Seek for God to dwell in you. Because without faith, there won't be many mighty works He can do. We'll be just like the people of His hometown. We'll be looking at, well, this was maybe just a man. This was just, who is this? Doubting who He is and doubting He has the power to do anything. We as a society have built God much to this level. We've gotten so used to the unanswered prayer. We've gotten so used to the lack of power. There's more for us that we must seek. There's more that we must keep seeking God for. That He would be in us and working through us. That His grace may be shared and it may abound to others. That there would be much glory given to our God and our Father and to His Son, Jesus Christ.